Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to do a new song this morning. It's not new to Lori and I, but it's we've never done it here, and I don't know how many people have ever heard it. It's an old song. It's an old praise song. And I finally got around to bringing it out. We'll do it a couple times through, two or three times maybe. The more we do it, the better we'll get. Hallelujah. It's called the Ancient of Days. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I was wondering if the title of that song, and some of us like me not remembering it, was an indication that Ancient of Days not only referred to the Lord, but maybe some of us. But nevertheless, thank you, Lord. This morning as we get started, we're thankful that the people that need to be here for Barbara and Sue had a little altercation on the highway coming in here, and it doesn't appear that it's really serious, but nevertheless, we thank the Lord that they're sitting in their cars, and I've seen one of them out of the car, and I'm sure that as God has brought all the people necessary to intervene, we just thank the Lord to let those things play out. And what we don't need is people running back and forth across the road anymore, because I noticed the cars didn't slow down when you were out there going across the road. So.
Saved by the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. So,
Pastor Rex,
yes.
I want to tell you that I did go over and I prayed for the ladies.
Yes.
Actually, I prayed for all three of them. And then I asked the young man if he was born again.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the response was no. And so therefore, just to make a long story short, I led the young man to the Lord. He just received Christ out there on that highway. And when I asked him, he said, if I ever needed him, I really need him now.
Amen.
I don't know why he said it that way, but his name is James Harvard, and he's born again.
Praise God. Tom, is that part of that net that you strung across the road last spring?
He also said he had a bad leak. I also prayed for them.
Yes.
And I just knew that the people were going to be the boy.
Yes.
He wasn't too sure, but I talked to him about it.
Amen.
Praise God that we have these opportunities to do these things.
That's right.
And it could have been much worse.
Oh, absolutely. We've often wondered, turning left into this driveway, that it's sometimes people don't slow down coming down this way, and they're not expecting us to turn in here.
And
so,
they travel fast.
Yep, they sure do.
Okay, you all know we have a blood program for women in the maternity ward in the Philippines, and occasionally we get a call and usually a text message. And for requests, because someone's life is at stake. And I'll read this message I got. It says, Mom asked me to send this message to you to ask for help for this patient who badly needs blood transfusion. Now, Mom is Gang's aunt, my wife's aunt, who's a doctor in the hospital there. The patient's name is Jovelyn Bacamonte, age 25, and she was diagnosed with placenta previa, which is the placenta is before the baby actually in the womb and presents a big problem, usually of bleeding. Date of the operation, she had her operation, it was a cesarean section, and she delivered a live baby girl. Praise God. Doctors orders were to secure 2 units of fresh whole blood of patient type, properly screened and cross-matched, transfused immediately at once. Available, and please do post-op CBC on that. So 2 units of blood cost 5,000 pesos. It's about $130. You got it right there. Look at that. This is the girl. And what the nurse was saying here was, I was able to be one of the nurses who received this patient after the operation. She was very pale as bond paper, as my co-nurse said. She was transported back to ward with low blood pressure reading and haven't received blood transfusion yet because family cannot afford to secure 2 bags of blood. Then they try to approach Mom and ask if she can communicate with you to ask for help in order for the patient to immediately transfuse with blood. Without hesitation, Mom looked for blood to save the patient because she knew with a case such as this, you will respond positively. Then the patient undergoes blood transfusion and an improving color was noted. She was then not as pale as I've seen in my first encounter with her. Thank you so much, Bill, for, and God bless you and all the people that are helping you, basically. So this is what we're doing. We have these moments of little baby girl. We'll get to see her when we go over, possibly. She's in not too far away from Depot Log, Leloy. I think it's maybe about 20 miles, gang, something like that, about 20 miles out of the city. So this is what it's all about. The blood is very important for these girls who would have died, and this baby would have no mom. So what we're doing is a God-given thing, and it's been a blessing to have almost 20 women right now since we started the program. And also, we're waiting for a price on the next shipment, a shipping price for the next 40-foot container, which we're hoping will go out August 11, if we get a good price on the shipping. And we have a full load in the warehouse right now. Dr. Solano just secured almost a brand new ultrasound machine. And I have that in our garage right now. I'm building a crate for that. And we'll transport that down to Connecticut. We're going down, gang, and I will be going down on Tuesday the 23rd or 24th of this month. For 2 or 3 days, we have many pickups to do there and prepare for the shipment that's going to go over. And so we're just praying that we get a price like we did the last time. I think it was $2,700, which was very cheap for a 40-foot container. And they're working on that now for us. So hopefully, I think we have to save up about another $400, $500, if that's the price. And then we'll have that off. And that'll be our 11th container to go over there. And this container is going to the new hospital that the mayor is building in Depot Log. And it'll be for helping all the poor people there. So that's pretty much our update for this month. God bless. Thank you.
Missions are good. But I want to talk a little bit about this blood situation. I want to thank all of you that have been praying for Marsha Buckingham. And the next time you go to your local hospital, you just think about what Bill just said. Marsha's been receiving daily blood transfusions since May 17th, or she would have already died. That's right here locally even. And the luxury that we have. We absolutely live in a luxurious, abounding abundance of medical technology. And never to take anything for granted. Going to the emergency room because you need 2 stitches on your pinky. Whoa, dude. Something's wrong with that picture. But to know what we have, because we are truly a blessed nation.
Sure.
And being Mission Sunday, we're apt to hear things like this, because most of you either participate in missions or help some of us in the church go. And our India update today is that, just like Bill, a good price was discovered Friday. I'd been up to see Phil and had gone up to the Ascutney Hospital to see Marsha. And both of them were gone from their beds, and I said, this is really good. You know, you go to a hospital and somebody's not in their bed, that's a good thing if you're thinking positive. and they were, Phil was having his whirlpool bath and exercising by walking. Marcia, for the first time, had been out of her bed and getting therapy as well at the Escutney Rehab. She's out of Dartmouth. But that day on the way back, I just sensed this urge, a prompting, if you will, to go check the airfare prices to India again, because you know the talk is around, and we've told you that we were planning a trip back to India in October. And it's been almost a month. And I checked with two airlines that we usually fly on, usually British Airways, and we change in London, or Lufthansa, we change in Frankfurt, Germany. British Airways had increased their airfares to almost $3,700 for two people. So I said, well, I'll try my favorite standby, Lufthansa. Because I said, well, Tom hasn't been to Germany yet. He might as well go there with me if we go that way. And would you believe there were five seats, on that flight for a one-day sale of $500 off each ticket if you bought two tickets. We saved. We saved $1,000 just like that on the price of the tickets. Now, you all know when we have our missions offering, we keep it in a savings account to help people, any of you that might get called to go. It isn't just for me or for Tom or for Bill. Michelle got up here publicly and told you last week she's planning a trip to India solo in January of 2014. And that morning she said, well, I don't want to spend the money for my passport until I know that you and Tom have enough money. And I said, don't worry about it. It's not October. That morning we had that conversation, and that afternoon the tickets came available. And not only was there enough money in the missions offering that's been accumulating to pay for the two plane tickets because of the reduced airfare, but also for Michelle's passport. So now I can truthfully say, we don't need what you put in here today, because those needs are met. But they're met because you do participate and you do help us go. And I know that all of us are very thankful for that. But this accumulates. You never know when Bill's going to go again. And, you know, this is what this helps for, to pay for our travel documents or plane tickets. It never pays for everything you need, but it's a huge help. And so today particularly, those of you that might be visiting, this is not for tithes and offerings. We don't pass a basket for tithes and offerings. God teaches us that our tithes belong to Him, and so that's what we do with our tithes. Tithes mean 10%. These are offerings that we receive once a month in-house, and that's it. And those go towards trips out of here as missions work. So, Ken, would you like to pray this morning for these? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for touching each and every heart, that they would purpose to give what they feel their heart is telling them, Lord God. Father, we all know how important it is, Pastor Rick just said, Lord God. Father, it's for your work, Lord God. And although there are senders, there also are goers. Without the senders, Father, they would not be going. So we just thank you, Lord God, for today, for this offering. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I always do this with a smile, because when I do this, I come to you and I say, it might be you next time. So it's very possible that you're sowing a seed into your trip. And I speak that by faith, because one day is going to come, and maybe I won't be gone anymore, but I'll tell you, I want to be a good helper to send others. Right, Bill?
Got it,
amen.
Amen. I just need you to pray.
Yes, we will. We have been, actually.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Lord. Do you personally need prayer for you both now?
Well, I feel really shaken.
Because we've been praying, but we want to make sure.
Just want to make sure nothing shows up tomorrow.
Okay.
I feel all right, but okay. It was good. Pretty shaky.
Okay. Well, y'all extend your hands of faith over this way. Release that corporate anointing on our sisters. If you get shaky now, it's going to be the Holy Ghost. That's a good shaky. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our two sisters. We thank you for your grace and your covering of protection. We thank you for the angels that stood between those two vehicles when they hit and bore most of that impact. And we thank you for saving and sparing them. We thank you right now for calming their nerves and that, Lord, their minds will be free from this, at least for this time that they can spend in here in your presence. We thank you that there are no injuries. We thank you that even by tomorrow, there won't be any. We declare them every bit whole. We speak to spines and vertebrae from the top to the bottom, from their heads to their feet. There has been no injuries. And we thank you, Father, for keeping them healthy and safe, and that their testimony will be immediate. And we thank you that we will all bear witness to it in Jesus' name. And Father, for the young man that probably took his eyes off the road for that second, we thank you that even he, we thank you for his salvation. We thank you this morning that as he ponders the rest of his life, we thank you that he will see how quickly everything can change in such a quick instant of time. Thank you for ministering to him, and thank you that he has every opportunity to be thankful that more damage was not done.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for keeping him and for those that are going to be helping him process and take care of all of his paperwork and all his dealings with the police outside. We thank you that he's comforted now by your Spirit. Thank you that he now knows you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Glory.
Mm-hmm. Just a little footnote. The young man, after the women prayed for him, said he was much calmer.
Yes. So if it got to work for him, it's got to work for you, right? Because God's no respecter of persons. Actually, that was not a staged event to set us up for the opening scripture. which is, this morning, very relevant. Our opening scripture this morning comes from 2 Peter in verse 18. And want to move along into that. It's been one of those unpredictable mornings, which I just absolutely love when we come together. We never find two Sundays the same. So if you get bored, come again next week because it'll be different than it was today. Never a dull moment. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And Peter talked about a wonderful, wonderful attribute of God that he extends to each one of us. And that is grace. This is Peter's admonition to the church, the body of Christ. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Growing in grace. A lot of you have heard different definitions of grace, that grace is unmerited favor. It's the favor that God shows everyone. I should say he's made it available. But foolish people, like I once was, had no recognition of it, no knowledge of it, no desire to, and just lived my life day to day, whatever. But God's grace is an unmerited favor that he's made available to all of us through Jesus Christ and his work at the cross. Grace also is something that we are called of the Lord to extend to others. That means looking the other way sometimes. That means don't be so critical and nitpicking and fault-finding in another person's life, because grace also is a period of time, if you will, and I don't even want to put it in a time frame, but it's an opportunity for a person to walk out their repentance. If someone has wronged you and you said biblically and correctly that you forgave that person, Give them grace to walk out their repentance. Don't be snappy and quick to prejudge them all over again when you know in heaven every sin is forgiven. There is no record that that ever existed. And our minds need to begin to get like that too. When we extend grace to others, we're basically giving them the opportunity to grow. And it's just to grow in grace, because most of us, when we get saved, we didn't even know what it was, but we're sure glad we found out what it was. That God extends that to us. And we are, in turn, to be like that with others in our dealings with people. Last week we were talking about doing things unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Well, one of the things that we should be known for is our grace that we extend to one another. It gives people the opportunity to pick themselves up and keep walking. Not everybody's where you are. And always remember that. Everybody's in this thing together. And unless we can see the love that God has in his heart for each person, give one another grace to grow. And we're growing in grace. In other words, as we grow in our own walk with the Lord, we get better at this. In the beginning, that might sound like a really hard concept and say, well, you don't know what that person did to me. Well, I don't really need to, actually. Not really. See, forgiveness is no respecter of persons. Forgiveness never says that a wrong is all right. But when we extend forgiveness, grace outflows from that. They kind of work together. We're never saying that it was all right. But what we are saying is, here's your rap sheet, but then you turn it over. And that's what grace does. That's what forgiveness does. You choose no longer to hold charges against somebody for what they've done or what they've said. And if you can get to that place in your heart, then God can begin the healing process. Because God is about healing. God is about restoring. God is about making things right. But if we harbor unforgiveness towards one another, that stops God from working. And usually the way that works is, if someone has wronged you and you're harboring unforgiveness, you're doing it because you feel that's what they deserve. And so you don't really care that God's working in their life or not. But you know, there's a backside of that. God's not working in yours either. That takes the matter more seriously. So grace is giving that person room to grow, room to walk out their own walk. And once forgiveness is extended, the person has changed, you have to give them that opportunity. Because God gives that to each one of us every day. When we ask for forgiveness, God gives us grace to walk it out. So this word is short this morning, but yet it's very relevant. It affects every single one of us in the body of Christ. So we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is one of the places we do that. The other places are the four Gospels are probably the best source of material you can find to grow in the knowledge of Christ, because here we have four Gospels of Jesus, wall to wall, from beginning to end of those four Gospels. So if you're new in the Lord, you're new in these things, start with the Gospel of John, but spend quality time in those four, and you'll increase greatly in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Attending when you can here on Sundays, or Bible studies if it works within your work schedule. This is how we do it. We all renew our minds. We're all in this walk together, and these are things that God has provided for us to take advantage of. And another thing, not to be taken advantage of, but to be enjoyed, is take a few minutes to greet each other. Thank you. bask in that presence.
Yes.
It's called soaking. No, when you just don't take this in the wrong way. Was anybody having a hot flash?
Yeah. How about getting dizzy?
Well, that's being in the presence of the Lord. His presence by His Spirit. It's very powerful at times. It's not always like that. Don't look for Him to be like that all the time. But when He is, you just know it.
Yep.
And that's, it's kind of like a sign to you from Him. That He is gathering you. He's wooing you. He's drawing you. He's pulling at the heartstrings of your heart and saying, I really like it that you're drawing closer to me as I draw nearer to you. Because in the days of adversity, when there is no one to draw close to, I am close, says the Lord. It is I who will never leave you nor forsake you. It is I who will love you and continue to love you with an unconditional love. It is I who every day has made my mercies new for you every morning. It is I who cover you with my grace every day. And it is I at night when you go to bed that my compassion and my care and my love for you will keep you until the morning sunrise. It is I who comfort you by my Spirit. It is I who stand by your side. It is I who intercede before the throne room of heaven on your behalf. And it is I who have carried out the work of the blood of my Son Jesus Christ on your behalf. It is I who have entered your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore rejoice, for you are mine. I have redeemed you. I have paid a high price for you. And I am not willing that any should perish. I am not willing that the enemy would even attempt to draw you away from me, says the Lord. For my Spirit is mighty, my Spirit is powerful. And I will give you enough rope to hang yourself, if that's your will. But that's not my will for your life. So therefore, this day, stay in my presence. It's not just here. It's everywhere you go, for you bring me with you. I know your hearts. I know your thoughts. Phew. I could just go sit down. Later. Last week, as in previous weeks, we've been studying a topic from a prayer that Paul prayed in the book of Colossians, from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. And I like to review just a tiny little bit each week because not everyone is here every week. And I really feel like it's very important that I don't want people that maybe missed a segment to feel like you just came into the middle of something today. Because we're not going to get through this for several weeks to come. But I do have good news. If you have a computer and you have the internet, you can get a CD of the message each Sunday. And Tom usually has it posted on the church website within 24 hours or maybe 48 at the max. But you can, if you miss a segment of this, you can do that. Or we have copies that he makes available. You can get them during the week, Tuesdays or Wednesdays. So don't feel like if you miss a service, and in the summertime, I highly recommend it that you miss at least a few. Now you're looking at me. Why would I say that? Well, because summertime is important to spend and do things with your family, not just for the sake of doing stuff, but for the quality of the time. But just wave a flag and say, I'm okay. That's all. I think it's important that you do take the time to do that. Colossians 1:10, did anyone go there besides me? I'm not there yet. I'm still in 2 Peter 3. But just a few pages to the left. If you were to put a title on this series of messages, it's called Walking Worthy. Based on how much is your walk worth to you, the value that you put on your relationship with God. A religious spirit would teach that and pound you and say, "You're not worthy, you scoundrel. Look at what you did." No, we're looking at it from God's viewpoint. He doesn't say that about us. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Last week, we talked about unto all pleasing, learning from the Word the things that please our Heavenly Father. And the best place that we went was Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm thankful that you all came back today, because portions of Scripture like that are very hard for me personally, because it's such a challenge. The challenge is the old man versus the new man. The old man before Christ, the new man in Christ. And how our lifestyle, our way of living changes. How can we live unto all pleasing if we don't know what pleases the Lord? And so we looked at some scriptures from Ephesians chapter 4 as well. Verses 22 through 32. I'm not going to read those all again, but some of you that I know have been taking notes, those were in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32, and you're going to see the contrast there between what we used to get away with and what that doesn't fly anymore. And I want to use an example today, because maybe somebody can relate to this. When Faith and I first, it was almost 35 years ago, we only have a couple of weeks to our 35th anniversary, we've learned a few things along the way. Number one, if you're wrong, admit it. And number two, if you're right, keep your mouth shut. Those two things. But the other thing was, and with her permission, we've talked about this before, some of the Bible study class heard a bit of this. Learning what pleases God, we can gain a lot by, in our marriages. What pleases my wife? What from your perspective, what pleases your husband? What is it that displeases them? And you know, you don't have to live with a person a very long time to find those things out if you really care about the other person. You'll find out. And one of the things was my wife, my mild-mannered, meek little sister Faith downstairs. Boy, could I tell you some stories before Christ. But you can ask her. She has her own testimony. But she always said, if you ever see me sounding like or acting like my mother, tell me. Mr. Opportunist. There weren't a lot of days that went by and you know, I would just say, "Oh, don't say that. You sound like your mother." Or, "Don't do that. You're acting like your mom." And then I could justify it. And she said, "Well, you told me to tell you that." Oh man, you're taking the punchline. It came to a point, let's put it that way. It came to a point where I'm not sure that she would have done violence outwardly. I don't know what she was thinking, but you can check with her at lunch. But it finally got to the point where it had just about one time too many. And but being the non-observant jerk I was, I didn't really notice. I just thought I was helping her out.
Yeah, you helped.
Now, I know y'all can talk at me and chatter, but none of you have ever done that. So nobody's ever been there, probably. So this may sound foreign. I'd do it in tongues, but I'd have to pray that God would give you the interpretation. It came to the point, and this was just before bed one night. That's not a good time. We talked about that. Never go to bed without making things right with your mates. And I said, when she told me, that hurts so much, and I really wish that you wouldn't do that anymore. And I said, okay, I won't. I didn't know. Thank you for telling me. Please forgive me. And it's been 15 years, and I said I never would do that again. I've never done that again. Now, that's no bragging on me. It's an example of
your word.
We can change. We may seem like we can do something along the way up to a point. And we were both saved at that time. But there comes a time when we know. I mean, why when we know would we do that to each other? Get that last word in. You know, in the Lord, why would we want to continue doing something when we find out through His Word or something He reveals to us by His Spirit? Why would we want to continue doing something that's displeasing to Him, that hurts Him? He paid a higher price for my life than anything that's ever been given that I've ever known since I was old enough to understand anything about anything. And we started our service off this morning with grace, growing in grace. Grace is that covering that God gives us to walk out our repentance, and how we need to be sure that we extend that to one another. Because it's just a part of us until we're renewed that we don't want to let things go. We want to keep them festering. Because it's our little method of control. See, we like to control each other. Instead of believing God to change me, I was believing God to change her. Now, I know none of you's ever thought of that. You know, a lot of times our prayers are, Lord, I really wish you'd change my husband. Or, Lord, I really wish you'd change my wife. But really, God might be whispering, but I'd really like to change you. Then your husband wouldn't bother you like that. Lord, I don't want to hear that. Set us that we might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Always remember, it's a growing process. If I were to just say, let's pray, and pray something like, Lord, would you show us? Would you show us, Lord, if there's things that we're still doing that are displeasing to you? Would you reveal those to me by your Spirit? And Father, would you give me the strength through your Holy Spirit and the grace to stop it? That would be awesome. That would really be awesome. So I just did that. And you know, before the day's over, the Lord is going to show you some things, maybe one thing. And you didn't think it mattered to anyone, but it matters everything to Him. I don't want to do the things that are displeasing to others if I know, and least of all to Him. And so, even though we can have fun with some of these, there's some serious places too. And I know that God cares about these things. Our marriages represent our relationship with Christ. We're His body. He's our bridegroom. He's our husband, if you will. We're married to Christ, and our marriages reflect that. And then you take it a step further, and that if both of you are Christians, then you're brother and sister in Christ, and that takes things to a whole new level of understanding in our marriages. So even though my words are intentionally brief this morning, I really feel this is a very important area that we're getting into. We have Jesus as our example, of course, in the Gospels. The life and ministry that flowed out of him. His motives were pure. Sometimes ours aren't. We're not always walking in the Spirit as Jesus did this. Sometimes we're walking in our flesh. When we're walking in our flesh, we're being led by our feelings and emotions. And we're just going to do it because it feels good. I know I shouldn't, but always remember it's our butts that get us in trouble every time. You know that's true. We're all grown up in the house. But he couldn't have been or wouldn't have been as effective in his ministry if he hadn't had such a tight connection with his Father. And you and I, as much as we want to do the right thing, do all the things that the Lord would have us do, we can make an attempt, but the quality of what's going to come out of that is going to be directly based on motives and our oneness with our Heavenly Father. The closer we walk with him, the more like him we're going to become, the more our thought processes are going to be renewed so that we have healthy thoughts about one another because we have God thoughts towards one another. We begin to see each other as he does, and we begin to treat each other differently as a result of that. So that's the example that we have. Acts of mercy, compassion, kindness. It's all connected. And so, there you have it for today. Short to the point, but think about the example that the Lord has showed you, because I know he did when I said those words. So that's between you and him, and I'm off the hook. Yay, I can go eat mashed taters. But I would like to pray for anyone always that wants prayer. We always want to make sure that if you have prayer needs, we have the time to do that. So if that's you, and if it's more than 25 of you, Tom, come on down.